Nehemiah chapter 6, if you would stand, if you're not already, in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord. And it says, "And I sent messengers," notice, messengers, more than one, "unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? And yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. And I answered them after the same manner." The enemy did it again. He tried to distract or tried to set up an appointment with the man of God. And the man of God said, "I can't. I'm doing a great work. Why should the work cease while I leave it come down to you?" The enemy did it four times. And every time, Nehemiah says, I'm going to use Pastor Pinero's postmodern vernacular, "Put your mask on and stay in the corner." Colossians chapter 3 and 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Let's just look at that for a moment. Puts it in perspective. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. I will not, or I won't be distracted. I won't be distracted. Would you lift your voices to the Lord or lift your hands? I know you got your Bibles in your hands, but it'd be okay to lift that Holy Scripture up to a holy God and just pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness and grace, your love and your mercy, your power. Thank you for the worship today, God. Thank you for the saints that have gathered today, God, in this place, Lord, that are here, that are praising, that are worshiping, those that have joined by webcast, God, because they're unable to be here, God, for whatever circumstance, God. But we pray today that your word will go out, God. It is anointed. Your word's anointed, God. I am the pastor, God, of these precious people. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach the infallible, inspired word this morning. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. Your affection is the exercise of the mind. It's the interest of oneself. It's a feeling of liking and caring for someone or something. But affection is the tender attachment. It's the devotion. It's where we get fondness from. Or it's likened unto craving, enthusiasm. It could even be correlated to worship. But affection is the interest of oneself. And my title is, I Won't Be Distracted. And it's distraction is that which distracts. See, Pastor, that's pretty profound. But notice this. It divides the attention of, or it prevents concentration. You ever make that statement where, I just can't concentrate. I just can't focus. It's because you're distracted. Distraction is that which amuses. Sometimes distractions amuse and entertains or diverts. It's division. Distraction is division. Or it's caused by dissension. Or it's where we get the word tumult or tumultuous. When you hear that word tumult or tumultuous, it's confusion. It's violent or noisy commotion. It's a disturbance. It's an uproar. When the Lord blesses, He adds and He multiplies. But the enemy of our soul divides. That's His intention, is to subtract and to divide. But God blesses. He could take a little bit and He can multiply and He can add to it. I'm going to just bare my heart this morning and preach to myself. And probably for 5 or 6 months in firm foundation class that we had, I taught off and on or portions from the book of Nehemiah. And because in my opinion, Nehemiah was a tremendous leader in the Scriptures. In fact, we know that he is responsible for building or rebuilding the wall that was torn down in Jerusalem. But we come into contact with Nehemiah not as a young person, but we come into contact with him while he's the king's cupbearer in in Persia, and he's in the royal court, and he's serving the king. Nehemiah was not a preacher. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was not a pastor. He was just a regular dude. He was a layman. But he had a burden. He had a passion to see the work of God and the people of God and his church or his community be protected and be blessed because of the burden that God placed in his heart. Nehemiah had the benefits of living in the palace. He had the benefits of living in the royal court. Now, I know there's some of you, your wife treats you like a king every day, but Nehemiah literally got to live with the king in the palace. He was a king's cupbearer. He served before he led. Think about that. Nehemiah served before he led. His expertise, his experience, the things that he went through day in and day out helped him, facilitated him. It provided him the skills, the resources, and later on the influence to be able to effectively lead the people of God. The people of God were scattered. They were in what we would call today, they were in exile. Nehemiah stepped up and he stepped in during a very critical time for the people of God. He, like I said, he was not a priest or a prophet, but he had influence. One thing that we understand about Nehemiah right from the very beginning, in fact, it only takes us about 3 or 4 chapters to get to this, but in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, we learn and understand the spirit of Nehemiah. It says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words," when he heard the words of the wall being torn down and the city of Jerusalem and the people of God being in disarray. It says, "I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." If there's anything we need today in these last days more than ever before, it's more people that will pray and fast. Amen. Prayer is the lifeline to our relationship with God. Come on, somebody. Fasting gives us the endurance, but it also allows us to become less self-governed by ourselves and become more God-centralized and God-focused. We know that the anointing breaks the yoke, but you don't get anointed without prayer and without fasting. Nehemiah prayed and he fasted. Let that be an encouragement this morning to all of us that the necessity of prayer and an urgency for fasting. It was because of prayer and fasting that the blessings and the favor of God and the doors begin to open up for Nehemiah. Let me tell you something here, saints of God. There's not a devil in hell that could stop the hand of God. There's not a devil in hell that could stop the people of God. There's not a government in the world that can declare something that's contrary to the word of God, that God will not back up his word. There's things today going on in the world, and I come to decree and declare to you today that we cannot and I won't be distracted by what's going on out there to influence what takes place in here. The scripture says, let the people gather together. The scripture said, the people of God, when they gather together, to let them sing, to let them praise, to let them worship, to let them dance. Let me tell you something, I won't be distracted, and I'm going to give God worship. I'm going to give God praise. I'm going to preach the infallible, inspired word of God, the Acts 2:38 message, louder and clear every time I get behind the pulpit. I won't be distracted by this world, because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Colossians 3:2, so profound. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. Imagine living in a home without no front door. Imagine living in a home without no back door. No fence, no windows, no bueno. That's, in our postmodern mindset, is what the people in the book of Nehemiah were dealing and facing with. The wall was more than just a wall.
Yeah.
It was security, it was community, it was protection. And Nehemiah saw a need. Nehemiah looked beyond his needs, his comforts, and he saw a need and he did something about it. Nehemiah was not distracted in his planning, in his preparation, nor in his journey. There were distractions But he was not distracted.
Right.
Think about that. Our scripture text brings us to the timeline of Nehemiah. He was deeply engaged in the building of the wall, or the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah had haters. He had naysayers. He faced and had people that were complainers and mockers. There was even conspiracy theorists in Nehemiah's day. Yeah. Nehemiah chapter 4 and 7 tells us, "But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites," I mean, that's a lot of haters and complainers and conspiracy theorists right there, "heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." I don't care who you are, but this is, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you are baptized in Jesus' name, this is going to surprise some of you. But you have an enemy. It's not your ex-wife or your boss or your neighbor, but it's the enemy of your soul. It's the devil. And the enemy of your soul is a liar. Always has been. Always will be. The enemy of your soul, he steals and he destroys. Why would you want to be friends with somebody that lies, that steals, or destroys? Scripture tells us in John 10:10, "The thief cometh but not to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Let me just kind of slow it down here for a moment. You know, one of the greatest weapons that the devil will use against you, he'll use whatever worked on you the last time.
Yep. Yeah.
If it worked once, he'll do it again. And if it worked again, he'll do it again. It may be a different person. It may be a different place. It may be a different timeline. But if the bait works, he's going to keep putting that bait out there until you can recognize and discern and get over it in the spirit and say, not today, devil. Not your day. Yesterday wasn't your day. Today's not your day, because you're under my feet. Always have been. Always will be. And it's a distraction, but I won't be distracted. Saints of God, in these last days, we cannot afford to be distracted. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Part of not being distracted is the resistance of the devil, is to resist him. Don't give any room for the devil. Part of resisting involves Colossians 3 and 2. To set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Come on, somebody. You're going to have distractions, but you don't have to be distracted. It's up to you if you allow it to be distracted. And it only becomes, some things only become a distraction when they become a distraction.
Exactly.
Text messaging. We text. It's a great way to communicate. It's awesome. Text messaging has proven to be effective. Just don't text during church. But don't text when you're driving. That's a distraction. Texting and driving can become fatal.
Yep.
But texting in itself is not necessarily a distraction. But so something could be a distraction until it's a distraction. Or it's not a distraction until it becomes a distraction. You understanding the spiritual principle and implication here? Well, Pastor, it's just a friend, or it's just I slept in because it's an 11 o'clock service online. The devil is a liar. Can I tell you, it becomes a distraction when it becomes a distraction. And saints of God, there's something about this day and age. We do not have time to flirt or to tease or to be attracted to the vices of this world, or the temptations that the devil will use to distract us, whether it comes from the news or education or work or finances or family or even from within the church. We cannot afford to allow ourselves to become distracted, where our affections become earthly rather than heavenly. Come on, somebody. I want to make sure that my mind and my heart are focused and attracted on the Word of God, the place of worship and the person that I'm becoming, the inner man through Christ, which has saved me. I don't want to be distracted about the temptations of who I used to be, but I want to be attracted about where I'm going and who I'm becoming and what's going to happen when I get there and I hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." We don't got time to be distracted.
No.
No distractions. The noise of the enemy, the demonic attack on your minds, the paranoia of some people, the unfortunate demise of what they assumed was a relationship with God was more an infatuation with a church, and religion is running rampant in the world. We've got a personal relationship with the Lord, and it's personal.
Yeah.
Ephesians 5 and 15 says, "See that you walk circumspectly." That means carefully. I'm going to use the analogy of like you're walking on eggshells. You got to walk carefully. See that you walk circumspectly, wise, not as fools. The scripture says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Anybody know what the will of the Lord is? The will of the Lord is that you're saved, that you're holy, that you're chosen, that you're separated, that you seek the kingdom, not seeking the kingdom of this world, but you're seeking the kingdom of God. That is the will of God. The will of God is that you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. The will of God is that you're faithful to your spouse. The will of God is that you're faithful to your heavenly Father. That is the will of God. Don't be distracted. In these last days, be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess. Somebody say no wine. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Notice this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't stop the spiritual momentum that you have because of the distractions of the world or the assumptions of things to come. In fact, I boldly declare, I rebuke distraction in Jesus' name. You may have to, and this right here is gonna make some folks, they may start to feel that offensive spirit come in, but you're gonna have to get over it and pray and ask God to forgive you. But there's some folks that you're going to have to disconnect from. There's some channels of information and some places and some things that have not been a distraction for us before. But the closer we get to the sounding of the trumpet, they are becoming a distraction, or they have the ability to become a distraction. Saints of God, I will not be distracted. If it's distracting from my relationship with the Lord, it's going to be distracting for me to hear the sound of the trumpet. I want to make sure that I have my ears attentive and my eyes looking up for the redemption of our Heavenly Father that's going to come back. I don't want to be focused on everything else. That's why the scripture is very clear. Five wise, five foolish, two in the field, one taken, two in the bed, one taken. Distractions. You have to give it up to go to hell. You can't take it with you. You're going to have to give it up to go to heaven. You can't take it with you. The enemy's going to come. But you notice that the enemy will come at the times that you feel the most vulnerable? But We know this. We know this. Your old flame all of a sudden Facebook messages you when you and your homeboy are having problems. Yeah, you notice you don't the devil's not messing with you while you're in church. It's when you get out of church.
Yeah.
You know? It's on Saturday night. It's on Sunday morning. The blankets seem to get so heavy, right? Yeah. It's like, man. But on your day off, man, you're like wide awake. You notice that? But when it's time to go to work, man, you can sleep till 11 o'clock, no problem. You're like, oh, then why couldn't I have quarantine when I was a kid? You know, I could have slept all day. Nehemiah 6 and 3 says, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it down to you? And these people were relentless. They came back again four times. And he answered them again the same manner. I don't got time for you or for that. I got a job to do. I got to get to heaven. This would all be a good lesson for us again today. Nehemiah didn't even pay attention to what the enemy was saying. It's as if he already had it written out and said, here, send this. Just tell him what you told him the last time. Ain't got time for you. I'm not going to be distracted. Some of you got to have that same resolve this morning. I'm not going to be distracted. I don't care how many times the enemy teases me, how many times the news scares me, how many times I'm tempted, how many times somebody hurts me, offends me. I'm not going to be distracted in serving the Lord, because my affection is on the things above, not on things on the earth. What we need in these last days is we need some folks that will pick up the spirit, the spiritual mantle of Nehemiah, and not be distracted from doing the work of the Lord. Your walk with God is the work of the Lord. It is work to get to heaven. It's not going to be just kicking back and saying, well, I go to church on Sundays. No, friend of mine, because we know for sure that there are folks that legitimately cannot be at church on Sunday in a building, but they're having church where they are. And I believe with all my heart that it is right and it is appropriate, and they're doing the best that they can, and they're going to be saved. And believe it or not, there's going to be folks that go to church every time the doors are open, and sad to say, they're not living for the Lord, and then going to hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We got to make sure we are not distracted by who is and who isn't and who does and who doesn't, but you worry about you. If you got to put your mask on and stand in your corner and have a spiritual timeout, then have a spiritual timeout. But don't be distracted by the Pharisees, by religion, by the news, by preachers, by people in the church, people out of the church. Keep your affection and your focus on the Lord. The proverb writer tells us, and has been telling us, Proverbs 1 and 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Which is, it's leading us and telling us that sinners are going to entice you. But you don't have to give consent. Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah fasted. Nehemiah was a promoter of unity. Nehemiah was a giver. Nehemiah wasn't a crybaby. Well, that would be a good point to go down this road. But I'm going to stay right here. Nehemiah didn't quit even when he was enticed. He didn't give up. Nehemiah made adjustments as needed. Aren't you thankful tonight, this morning, that we've made adjustments as needed?
Yeah.
Nehemiah was blessed and favored by the Lord. He was not distracted by what he was up against. He reminded the Lord, notice this, he reminded the Lord who the people were. Notice this, Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. That's who you and I are. We are the people of God that he's redeemed by his great power and by his strong hand. We are his children. We are forgiven.
Yeah.
We are set free. We are delivered. We are holy. God has called us to be holy. We are to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
That's right.
Hey, Pastor, it's crazy out there. Yeah, of course. The Bible's been telling us that it was going to be crazy. Pastor, do you ever worry? You ever stressed out? You ever get concerned? Of course. I'm human. Then I go back. Got to go back to the Word. Somebody preached it the other day. Take heed to the Word of God. You got to go back to the Word of God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 and 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me And He delivered me from some of my fears. I mean, from all my fears. We got to get back to the Word of God, and we got to say, well, Lord, if I got time to complain about it and post about it and give my now I'm an expert and I give my opinion about it, then you got time to get in the book and read about it, pray about it, fast about it, talk to the Lord about it. Not begin to start doing things that you're gonna regret later and lose your influence that you worked so hard to have and the trust that you work so hard to try to get, and this image that you work so hard to be, saints of God. You cannot be distracted by all the noise of the world today, but take heed, make sure your mind and your heart and your affections are focused on Amen. The Lord. The devil's been working overtime. Amen. It's time for some of us to start working overtime.
Yeah.
Let's pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's time for us to go to work physically and spiritually. It's time for us to be a good steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's time to ensure that we're loving our family, your spiritual family and your personal family. It's time for us to not be distracted and to ensure that we're serving the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what Joshua tells us. He says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And wash your hands while you're at it.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor while you're at it. Forgive while you're at it. Worship. Don't be distracted that you can't worship.
Exactly.
But you got so many things in your hand and your heart and your mind that it's distracting your worship. Scripture tells us in John 4:23, as we stand, it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. Now notice this. The enemy seeketh who he may devour.
Yeah.
But our Heavenly Father, go back, it says in 4:23, seeketh such to worship.
Yeah.
Whose side do you want to be on?
Exactly.
God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't be distracted that you're not able to fully live holy, dress holy, behave holy, talk holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, God has not called us unto uncleanness but unto holiness. I won't be distracted from being encouraging or using godly wisdom. And I won't be distracted from being reminded that the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
It's easy, folks, in these days and times to look at all the stuff and hear all the noise and to be distracted. But it's even easier to be attracted to the Lord, His Word, and to worship Him if your heart and your mind is set on affection of the things in heaven rather than the earth. And I wonder this morning, as we lift our hands unto the Lord, and as we begin to just talk to the Lord, the altars are open. We've got a few spots up here. Come on, somebody. We've got two or three spots on this side and a couple spots over here. Stand in your spot. Stand on your, there you go. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to Him right now. There you go. Jesus. I'm not going to be distracted. Come on, some of you have been distracted. You've allowed people in the church to distract you. You've allowed people at work to distract you, in your own home to distract you. Come on. There you go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I won't be distracted. I won't be distracted. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that's it, saints of God. He's son.